Okay, magandang umaga po sa lahat. We're fresh from the conference sa Cavite. Fresh or worn out, however you look at it. But magandang nangyari kahapon. The churches that organized prepared for 50, more than 100 came. And we had a good discussion on the subject ng tungkol sa the Holy Spirit and the Word. So, but one other thing, my car broke down again, so no car. Kung may gusto magpahiram sa inyo ng motorcycle mamayang gabi para pag-uwi o bisikleta, pwede. But we will continue our study of holiness, but because this is the month of October, ay titingnan natin ito sa pananaw ng mga reformers. Because October is Reformation Month, at dun sa mga maaring nagtataka, ano itong nasa ating opening slide, this is a collage of the reformers, and the most popular are, of course, Martin Luther, you have John Calvin, Ulrich Zwingli, at ang iba pa. At ang tinitingnan natin ay ano ang kanilang naituro tungkol sa pagpapakabanal. So, holiness. And as we saw last week nakita natin that the main issue during the Reformation was actually justification. Paano ang isang tao ay maituring na matuwid, at yan ang pinaglaban ng mga reformers. Para sa kanila, ang pagkamatuwid sa Diyos ay sa pamamagitan lamang ng katuwiran ni Yesu Kristo, hindi sa pamamagitan ng gawa. Baligtad sa sinasabi ng mga Katoliko na ang pagkamatuwid sa harap ng Diyos ay kung ikaw ay mabuting tao. At yan ang pinagsalungatan nila. At mula sa pagsasalungat ng justification or pagkamatuwid sa Diyos, nagkaroon ng pagsasalungatan sa usapin ng pagpapakabanal. So sa mga Katoliko, nakita natin, there was the practice of canonization. And canonization means it is the church and the pope who finally promulgates whoever will be recognized as saint. At marami silang mga santo. And as we saw last week, the saints have the powers that include intercession, supererogation, na sinasabing marami na silang masyadong katuwiran, pwede nilang i-share ang kanilang katuwiran sa mga kulang ng katuwiran. That's the doctrine of supererogation. And then they believe that they have the power of intercession, and not only that, they have the power of relic. Yung kanilang mga remains ay maaring magkaroon ng kapangyarihan sa iba't ibang pagkakataon. Kaya kung kayo'y bumibiyahe riyan sa may nahahagip sa Santo Tomas, andyan ngayon ang puso ni Padre Pio na sobrang napaka-traffic sa mga nakaraang araw at hanggang ngayon, yan ay pinipilahan. Catholic faithful are flocking in order that they may at least have some sight of the so-called incorruptible heart, ang puso raw na hindi nagkakasala. Yan ay isang panlilin lang at hindi natin dapat yan paniwalaan. Ngunit, hindi natin tinitingnan at hindi natin dapat tingnan ng may pangahamak ang sino man na sincero na nagsisikap na makabahagi ng kanyang ng ganyang relic. Instead, hayaan nating maging motibo na magbahagi lalo ng katotohanan ng Ebanghelyo. Against the practice of canonization, the reformers taught sanctification and the biblical practice of biblical doctrine of sanctification. Inilarawan nila through a tree. Justification is the root, ang pagkamatuwid sa pamagitan ni Kristo ang ugat, kaya hindi ang pagiging mabuti mo, pero kanilang binigyang diin na ang tunay na pagkamatuwid magbubunga ng kabanalan. So they rejected moralism, but on the other hand, they rejected license. That is, those who think because they are justified before God, they can live their lives with impunity, without any concern about holiness. That is not possible, according to the reformers. So yan ang nakita natin noong nakaraang linggo tungkol sa pinagtalunan doon sa panahon ng Reformation, meron pang isa tayong titingnan sa umagang ito, and that is, how is one to be holy in a sinful world? So, ayan ay angkop na katanungan. Nagpapakabanal tayo, pero kagaya ng nakita natin, na nalaman natin sa ating mensahe kanina, umiiral pa rin ang kasalanan. May kasalanan pa tayo, marami pa rin kasalanan sa mundo. So the question that we are asking is, how are we to live a holy life in an unholy world? Kung hindi mo naging concern yan, ay usisain mo kung ikaw ay may tamang diwa ng kabanalan. Ang tunay na banal, gagawin niya itong usapin sa kanyang buhay. Paano nga ba ako magpapakabanal? Papasok ako sa opisina, may kasalanan akong makakatagpo doon. Pumunta ako sa eskwela, ganun din. At gusto mong magpahinga sa bahay, ay nandoon pa rin. So, in other words, wherever you go in this world, there are sins. How then are we to live a holy life in a sinful world? So that is the issue now we are dealing with, and many before the Reformation and during and even after the Reformation, may isang sagot na inindorso ng simbahang Katoliko, at ito ang hinarap ng mga reformers, at ito ang tinatawag na asceticism. Hindi ko pa rin maisip anong Tagalog ng ascetics o ascetico. Ang isang ascetic ay ang pinakasummary ng kanyang approach sa pagpapakabanal sa isang mundong makasalanan ay deprive yourself. Tanggihan mo ang mga bagay sa mundo. And the ascetic is often illustrated as a person who is somewhere in the woods and deep in meditation. Nagbubulay lang siya sa Diyos, mga bagay ng Diyos, at hanggat maaari, hiwalay siya sa mga bagay ng mundo. So that is the ascetic. Because the world is contaminated by sin, the upright approach, according to the ascetic approach, is withdraw from it. Umalis ka, humiwalay ka sa mundo. So that is asceticism. And ang kanilang paniniwala, the ascetic devotes himself to contemplate on God. So, yung kanyang buhay, para talagang banal siya, pupunuin lang niya ang isip niya ng pagkamakadiyos, mga bagay ng salita ng Diyos, at hanggat maaari ay wala sa mga bagay ng mundo. So, that is the ascetic idea, the ascetic approach. Now, susisain natin ito. Nakatindig ito sa ilang paniniwala na umiral noong Middle Ages. The Middle Ages is usually bracketed by the conquest of Islam of certain areas of Europe, at sila ay umiral hanggang sa panahon ng Renaissance. So that's practically from year 500, 600 to 1500. That's the Middle Ages. So halos 1,000 taon. At sa loob ng 1,000 taon, ay ito ang umiral na paniniwala. So the premise of asceticism is based upon what is known as Gnosticism. Ano yung Gnosticism? Nous is in Greek mind or knowledge. At ang idea ng Gnostic, sinabi na at the most basic level, the terms Gnostic and Gnosticism refer to a belief that is rooted in special knowledge. So the term Gnosis is where we get the English word knowledge from. Gnosticism, in its broadest sense, is about a religious view based on a claim about knowledge, but a particular kind of knowledge that leads to a disjunction between spirit and body, mind, matter. So para sa kanila, lahat ng mga may kinalaman sa spirit at mind, yan ang mabuti. Lahat ng may kinalaman sa body at matter, yan ang evil. So they made a disjunction. Pag sa pang-espiritu, sa pang-isip, yan ang mabuti. Pero pag yan ay pang-material, pang-katawan, masama. Eh kung ganyan ang pananaw mo, talagang isa sa magiging implikasyon ay kung magpapakabanal ka, ay magbigay konsentrasyon ka lang sa espiritu at sa isip at pabayaan mo ang katawan at mga material na bagay. So that is Gnosticism. So the idea is, ang naging practice na kinalabasan nito, abstinence. Abstinence means yung mga material o mga pagkain na sa kanilang palagay ay may kasalanan o nauuwi sa kasalanan, ay umayaw ka. So that means abstain from wine, abstain from, for some of them, even meat and other things that will give you so much pleasure. Eh kapag nasihan na ang katawan mo, naku, kasalanan na yan. Binibigyan mo ng kasayahan ang katawan mo. Eh kung ang katawan ay kasalanan, dapat hindi maging masaya ang iyong katawan. So at least minimal use of anything material and earthly, avoid them except necessity. Eh, siyempre, hindi naman sila makakaiwas kumain. So they eat, but they don't mind the taste, they don't mind the presentation, and of course, they are very mindful of the amount of what they eat. Now we can get some help from that, mindful of the amount. But the point is, yung idea nila, iwasan ang mga makapagpapasaya sa katawan. So abstinence, and the other issue is celibacy. The issue of sexual pleasure, even legitimate in a marriage relationship, sa kanilang paniniwala ay hindi nararapat. So celibacy began to take its prominent role, especially those who are people of the church, meaning priests and nuns, began to practice celibacy. Una, ito ay voluntary practice, but later on, in a synod or in a council of the church, they made it a law. So ito ay naging law later as a requirement of priesthood that priests and nuns should be celibate. So yan yung adoption of singlehood as the superior status to marriage. Now let me make myself clear. Ang lunch fellowship natin ay for youths and singles daw. So gusto kong kilalanin na singlehood is a biblical option. Just as marriage, we just do not believe that it is superior in terms of choice compared to marriage. But this is what the Gnosticism has born as a fruit of kanilang paniniwala. Umayaw at magpanatili ng singlehood. So, that is one. Another belief during the Middle Ages that flourished is known as mysticism. Mysticism, alam niyo, ang word na mystic is actually, ibig sabihin niyan, mute. So, a mystic is one who deals with God without use of words, without use of concepts. He rejects logic. Dealing with God is something in terms of feeling, in terms of direct touch by God, with no need of concepts and logic. So sabi nga sa definition na ito, belief that union with or absorption into the deity or the absolute or the spiritual apprehension of knowledge inaccessible to the intellect may be attained through contemplation and self-surrender. Belief characterized by self-delusion or dreamy confusion of thought, especially when based on the assumption of occult qualities or mysterious agencies. So, hindi naman kailang occult yan. Maraming naging occult nung Middle Ages, but there were Christians who practiced mysticism at sa kanilang paniniwala, hindi kailangan ng words because you deal with God as someone who is fully other. Ibang-iba siya, hindi mo siya maaring ilagay sa pananalita ng tao. Now, of course, that means no Bible, no verses, no doctrines, because those are words, those are concepts that demands logic, and that's not for the mystic. So, sa kanilang practice ng mysticism ay andun ang dependence on inner experience. So, ano yung nasa loob nila? Minsan naririnig mo yan, listen to your heart. Magandang awitin yan, pero maling konsepto. Why? Simple, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Not only that, sabi ni Jesus, Mark 7:21, nothing defiles from the outside, but all defilement comes from the heart. Masama ang puso. Eh, kung makikinig ka sa puso mo bilang gabay, ay ililigaw ka niyan. Pero yan ang paniwala ng mysticism. You depend on inner experience and probably ito yung sinabi, why you should listen to your inner voice. And it is even better to hear. Again, the implied idea is not Bible, not words, not preaching, not teaching, your inner voice. You don't need a pulpit for that. You don't need a book for that. You only need to be sensitive to your inner voice. At yan ang nangyari nga. So, with that, there is rejection of verbal logic. In fact, one belief of a popular group of mysticism is that all is illusion. Pagdating sa mga logic, the words, concepts, those are all illusions. The real thing is what you experience mystically. And that is mysticism. And there were very popular figures of ascetics who combined both Gnosticism and mysticism in the Middle Ages. And probably the most popular and still popular today was Thomas A. Kempe. Thomas A. Kempe, who died in 1471, he wrote a book that is still of much use today, much read, and that is The Imitation of Christ. Now, may mga magaganda siyang sinabi riyan na maari nating gamitin, but many forget na at the root of this book is the Gnostic idea and a mystical practice. And A. Kempe was a mystic during the Middle Ages. Itong isang passage sa kanyang aklat na sinabi, "Learn to despise the world of outward things and devote yourselves to what lies within. Deep in your heart is where He, Jesus, likes to be. If you love Jesus, if you love the truth, if you really direct your gaze inwards, then you can turn to God at will, lifted out of yourself by an impulse of the Spirit, and rest in Him contentedly." He's a pious man, and yet this is what he believed. Ang paniwala niya, turn inwards, reject outward things. But again, you see, the Bible is an outward thing. The church is an outward thing. Preaching is an outward thing. And he is saying, by implication, reject those things. The real thing is when you deal with your heart, with your inner experience. At isang bagay ito na maaaring nangyayari sa ilan sa atin ngayon, na pag may naramdaman ka, maaaring iniisip mo kagad sa espiritu ito. At kapag meron kang kapayapaan, yun na ang para sa'yo ay ebidensya na galing sa Espiritu. Pag sinabi ng "I have peace," many people imagine that that is already the sure sign of the Spirit's leading, is it gives him peace of mind. But you see that anything subjective can be misleading. And this is in fact what A. Kempe is saying. And there were other popular figures such as Ignatius of Loyola. Of course, the founder of the Society of Jesus or the Jesuits. At kilala siya sa kanyang practice of self-deprivation, even self-infliction of pain, that to this day, the serious Jesuits are practicing. So meron silang wire na tusok-tusok na ikinakabit sa kanilang ankle o sa kanilang hita just to feel the pain. And they say that being pained by that reminds them not to enjoy this world. Baka masyado ka nang nasasayahan sa mundo. Yan, masaktan ka. Pag nasasaktan ka, paalala na hindi ka dapat maging masyadong masaya sa mundo. So, Ignatius Loyola, you have Teresa of Avila, again, someone who became very influential in the transfer of the Pope from Avignon in France back to Rome. Malaki ang impluensya niya during the Middle Ages. And of course, she is a saint today. So is Ignatius. And meron ding para sa atin, si Juan de la Cruz. John of the Cross was a famous preacher during the Middle Ages. And again, he practiced asceticism sa kanyang buhay. So these are popular figures, and that is the major practice that led many to think that holiness is rejection and abstaining from anything that is pleasing to the body, anything that is of material nature. So, merong mga counterpart yan sa ating panahon. Of course, the major one is fundamentalism. I'm not saying that they are ascetics in themselves, but their idea of holiness is in a big part of their practice ascetic, in the sense nang they are full of do's and don'ts, na you cannot go to the movie house, you cannot take wine, you cannot do this and do that, etc. And I've been a fundamentalist in my young Christian life, and I know all the rules, and I practice those rules, at malimit ay ganyan ang nangyayari. And we reject that, the idea of prohibition, because Colossians 2:20 warns against that approach. If with Christ you die to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which are according to human precepts and teachings. So, yan ang contemporary counterpart. Ibig sabihin, asceticism, although rejected as a total practice of lifestyle, is still being adopted today in the idea of holiness. So, the idea of separatism and others. So, what is the contrary truth to the ascetic practice? To the reformers, ang isang mahalagang paniniwala ay what is biblical spirituality. And the first thing that they made very emphatic is that cannot be the Christian position, because Christianity is historical. Walang tunay na pananampalatayang Kristiyano kung hindi nakabatay sa nangyari. Eh, ang nangyari, nasa labas, hindi sa inner experience. It's not subjective. The basis of Christianity is what happened objectively. And of course, the most important is the gospel, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. All of these are outside of us. It's not an inner experience. It is an objective reality. Hindi natin tinatanggihan ang counterpart na may experience tayo ng nangyari, pero sa pananampalatayang Kristiyano, una ang nangyari because of what happened. Other religions, wala silang pakialam sa nangyari, basta totoo yung kanilang filosofiya o yung kanilang pakiramdam, pwede na yun. Hindi pwede yun sa buhay Kristiyano. Kung hindi nangyari ang resurrection, for example, the words of Paul are very clear. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. There's no consolation prize, as some thinkers are saying. Maganda pa rin maging Kristiyano, sabi ni Blaise Pascal. Magandang maging Kristiyano, kaya totoo, kaya hindi. Kasi pag totoo, edi ligtas ka. Pag hindi totoo, at least masaya ka. Hindi pwede ang ganun. Kung hindi totoo na si Jesus ay crucified and risen, hindi ka masaya, miserable ka, sabi ni Apostle Paul. Hindi lang basta miserable, pinaka-miserableng tao sa mundo. So, it depends on the reality of history. That's why it cannot be inner experience. Kaya nga, pag pinag-usapan natin, halimbawa, pag-ibig ng Diyos. Karaniwan, isipin mo yan sa pakiramdam mo, damang-dama ko pag-ibig ng Diyos. At karaniwan, binabatay natin sa karanasan. May pangangailangan kong pera, ibinigay ng Diyos, talagang mahal ako ng Diyos. Ano ibig sabihin? Pag kulang ka ng pera, hindi ka na mahal ng Diyos. Romans 5:8 gives us the right way of thinking about God's love. Inaawit natin kanina, Jesus, thy love. Ang sabi ng Romans 5:8, God demonstrates, present tense, His own love towards us. How? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, past tense. To know God's love for the present, you go to the past. What happened? So whether or not I have money, whether or not I am healthy, Jesus died on the cross, and that death, the cross of Christ, screams loud and clear that God loves me, a sinner. And diyan mo ibatay. Kaya hindi pwede ang Gnostic na inner experience or mystic na no verbal concepts. Hindi maari. So the Reformation adopted the biblical teaching of spirituality. And what does it mean? E tingnan natin yung salitang spiritual. Kadalasan pag sinabi nating spiritual, ang ibig nating sabihin, hindi physical. Ang ginagawa natin doon, we are making spiritual to contrast with physical. Kasi yung tingin natin sa spirit doon ay contrast with body. That's wrong. Spiritual in the New Testament usage is the Holy Spirit. The root na spirit is not the human spirit. In contrast with the human body, the root of spiritual is the Holy Spirit as the one who applies the work of Jesus Christ. So to be spiritual means the graces and fruit and gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's spirituality. The Holy Spirit produces graces, andyan ang holiness. And the Holy Spirit equips with gifts, andyan ang usefulness. And that's 2 Timothy 2:21. Holy and useful. That's the two things. Those are the two things we must be most mindful of as Christians. Am I holy? Graces. Am I useful? Use of gifts. That's spirituality. Hindi anti-physical. At tandaan natin yan dahil maraming salitang spiritual sa banal na kasulatan sa Bagong Tipan. Spiritual is to be of the Holy Spirit, not of the human spirit. So, sa kanilang pagtuturo, kailangan magkaroon ng biblical concept of the body. Remember, the ascetic looks at the body as evil in and of itself. That is not the biblical view, and that is not what the Reformation taught. It is a created part of the human constitution. Of course, we are body and soul. As long as we are alive on earth, we are body and soul. It will have its final redemption in the resurrection. Ibig sabihin, kasama ang katawan sa ililigtas. Hindi sinabing espiritu lang, kaluluwa lang, lahat ng pagkatao, katawan at kaluluwa ay ililigtas kasama yan. So that means, 1 Corinthians 15, there will come a time at the resurrection that the corrupts will put on incorruptibility or incorruption, and the mortal will put on immortality. So that means two things. At the resurrection, sin will be done away with. So corruption will yield to incorruptibility. And death will be done away with. Ibig sabihin, habang wala pa ang resurrection, sin and death are real experiences. Hindi mawawala iyon. Mawawala lamang when the final thing comes. And the reformers believe that strongly. So, in the Reformation idea of spirituality, they made much use of Colossians 2 na binanggit na natin kanina. Again, any rule ng do not use, do not touch, do not taste, rule of holiness is wrong if it is about material things. Because material things are a matter of liberty. Oh, alam ko, maring may nagtatanong sa inyo sa tekstong binasa natin kanina sa Genesis 9. Ay, sinama yung dugo, wag daw kainin. That is part of the preparatory application of the covenant in the Old Testament. But when we come to the New Testament, Mark, tandaan nyo ito, it's only a parenthesis, but it's a very important statement. Mark 7:19, when Jesus said sa mga Pharisees, nothing that comes from without defiles a man. And then parenthesis, Mark says, declaring that nothing is unclean. Walang marumi kapag ito ay mga bagay o kahit pagkain. Now, we're not talking of whether it's healthy or not. We're talking of cleanness in terms of spirituality. So, ang isa bang pagkain ay hindi banal, makasalanan. Walang ganong karakter. Ang anumang bagay, physical yan, material yan. Sin is in the spirit. Sin is your relationship with God, not a material thing. So, sa Reformation, their biblical concept of the material is, as Timothy says, for everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving because it is concentrated by the Word of God. This is in the context where Paul declares any abstaining from meat or from marriage. Exactly those two things na sinasabi ng Gnostics. Abstaining from material things or food or sexual pleasure in and of itself as legitimate, if it is within the bounds of God's will, we may rejoice. So, alam nyo, ang reformers were not ascetics. Martin Luther enjoyed his beer. No, hindi ko sinasabing mag-beer tayo maya-maya. Pero, ang point ay, hindi nila tinitingnan na ang mga bagay na ito sa kanilang sarili ay masama. What they adopted is enjoyment with moderation. Masiyahan ka, pero may pagpipigil. So this is 1 Timothy 6:17. Binasa rin kanina, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Now take note this, He richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Hindi lang survival. Alam niyo ba ang mga hayop, they have less than 100 taste buds. Humans have more than 1,000. What does that tell us? Animals eat to survive. Humans should learn to eat to enjoy. Okay? My doctor reminded me, don't enjoy too much. But still, there is a place for enjoying one's food. Kaya merong mga presentation, etc., taste. Those things matter because God wants us to enjoy life within the bounds of His will. So, moderation, hindi deprivation. And biblical grace of contentment. Contentment means be satisfied with your present lot and yielding to God how it will change or not. Yan ang contentment. So, 1 Timothy 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That is the grace that we are after. So, itong gusto kong sabihin, pagdating sa holiness, inakala ng iba pag holy is someone who does not enjoy life, someone who does not enjoy food and parties and pleasure like watching a wholesome movie. That is not true. God is a good father, not a slave driver. And as a good father, He wants His children to enjoy within the bounds of His will, and that includes whatever He has provided materially and physically. So as far as holiness is concerned, reject being ascetic. Rather, enjoy what God provides, but with thanksgiving, as Paul said, and within the legitimate bounds of His will. So, in the Reformation thought, those are the two things they faced. Ito yung dalawang hinarap nila. Ang canonization, against that, they stressed sanctification, and asceticism, and against that, they stressed spirituality. Any question? Any question? Ike, Brother Ike.
Pastor, yung ang gusto ko itanong yung boundaries kasi ng yung kanila yung fundamentalist abstinence versus yung mortification of sin. Pwede bang sabihin na parang klaro yung boundary na sinabi ko, do this, do not do that. So, kanino yung boundary? Pero, is it safe to say na dahil may Christian liberty, may moderation, although of course subject to abuse, hindi malinaw yung boundary na parang sinabi, how moderate should you drink beer? Isang bote, dalawang bote. Of course, alam naman natin na parang wala tayong, hindi tayo naglalagay ng rule doon. Or gano'ng kalaking steak ang pwede kong kainin. So parang dahil para bagang blurred, ewan ko, I don't know if I use the word correctly, the term blurred yung boundary na hanggang saan ako. Tapos yung sa fundamentalist, pag sinabing huwag kang pumunta sa movie, talagang lahat ng klase ng sine, hindi ko pwedeng panoorin.
Yeah, exactly. Ang problema doon, so you make a rule, no headache. In other words, pag sinabi mo halimbawa na every woman should have dresses with hemline 3 inches below the knee, so no temptation, etc. So no headache. But the result is you made a pope of the pastor, worse than the pope in Rome. Because at least the pope in Rome will call a college of cardinals to make any ruling. In many churches then, this is very sad, they made their pastors their popes to make rules for them. And in the process, they do not enjoy their liberty. So my rule, no headache, but the pope, the pastor has become their pope. I'd rather have the headache, give the principles, and perhaps deal individually. If I feel that someone is going beyond the boundary, I will talk to him or her individually as I have done, but I will not give a ruling for all. So give the principle of moderation hanggang siya ang mag-apply sa kanyang sarili kung paano ang applicable sa kanya without abusing. So I'd rather have the headache, in other words, than rule beyond the bounds of Scripture. So ang meron tayo ay mga prinsipyo. I remember traveling sa barko noon at because I wanted to sleep well. I mean, kasama ako na isa ring pastor. So, I told him, I want to take beer, but I don't want to do it if you will be offended. So, he said, no, no problem. So, we went to the restaurant. I took one beer. He took 3 bottles of beer. So, ako nag-struggle na wag ma-offend. So, pero, hindi ka pwede magbigay ng rule. Other questions? Ferdy.
Pastor, regarding Gnosticism, sinasabi nila yung spirit or mind is the only good and yung body or matter is evil. But in reality, Pastor, yung experience ng tao kalimitan ay yung sa puso, sa isip tayo mas nagkakasala. So,
well, exactly. Except nyo sa kanila, ang body ay whatever the body does is evil. Whereas it is the spirit that is capable of good. Kaya they are not denying that the spirit can be guilty of sin, but it is capable of good, whereas the body for them is incapable of good. It's only evil, and so therefore the approach that they have adopted are minimal. yung pangkailangan lang. So wala nang enjoyment, and anything that suggests enjoyment is already sin. And of course, we reject that. We have seen that God wants us to enjoy within the bounds of His will. Other questions? Glenn?
Kung sa Christian home, pwede ba gumawa ng rule? Mga parents, hindi naman to poking, di ba?
Yes.
How would you differentiate?
Because children are still under their custody and they're still growing. Kagaya yan sa Old Testament, di ba, sabi sa Galatians 4, it was the age of minority. They were minor, that's why they were under rules. Pero sa mga Kristiyano, sa iglesia, hindi tayo gagawa ng ganung rules because one of the blessings of salvation is liberty. But sa children, sa bahay, yes, there should be. In fact, hindi lang pwede, kundi dapat. Meron tayong rule. So why do we make rules, halimbawa ng don't be outside the home kung bata pa talaga, or don't be outside the home beyond 6 o'clock. It's not because it's immoral to be outside the home beyond 6 o'clock, but because you are preparing him for mature adulthood. Ganun ang ginawa ng Panginoon sa mga rules sa Israel prior to the liberty in Christ.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
At talagang kailangan ng sublag na. Other questions? Other thoughts? Ate Emma. Si Teng na ko doon muna.
Pastor, recently I observed a trend, lalo na po sa social media, about kasi yung mga friends ko na Christians, they're into minimalism. Yung bang nagde-declutter ng bahay, tapos konti na lang naiwan. And then it gives parang an impression na kapag marami kang gamit sa bahay, dapat gawin mo rin to kasi ang dami mo nang nakamkam na gamit sa bahay. So parang nare-relate ko lang kasi yun nga, parang the more stuff you have, the more worldly you are, parang ganun.
Of course, it's not true. There's no equation between your possession and the spirit of worldliness. Worldliness is not having Jesus ruling in your earthly life. So a person in the church can be worldly, just as a person in his workplace can be spiritual. It's not the place, it's not the possession, but the attitude of the heart. So kung nangangailang kayo ng mga stuff sa inyong bahay, punong-puno sa bahay namin, pwede kayong kumuha. Other questions?
Pastor, when I was reading biographies, one of the things that shocked me was, si Spurgeon pala, smoke cigars. Kaya sabi ko, shock na shock talaga ako. Sabi ko, this is a very godly man. Pero like what you were saying a while ago, anything that's an area of liberty, and that anything done in moderation, okay. Now, let me ask you. For example, we have somebody in church na nagtato. Tato. Diba? It's a fad among young people. Will we frown on that? Kasi mas madali talagang mag-set ng rules rather than, sabi mo, that's an area of liberty. Pero even if it's an area of liberty, what if other brothers stumble? Diba? It's also a principle that out of love, if a weak brother will stumble because of what you did, that's not doing things out of love. So how do you reconcile this parang two conflicting principles?
Okay, thank you. First, I'll respond dun sa issue kay Spurgeon. Let's put it in context. It was 19th century. No research ever made about the unhealthy effects of cigarette smoking. And put it in the context of Europe. I lived in Europe for about a year as a student. Tumadalo ako ng mga conferences din. And I remember in many occasions that after a meal, Christian leaders, I'm talking here of pastors who will smoke because of the climate, because of the coldness, is their way of neutralizing the cold in their body. So that's one context, and the context, the fact that Spurgeon did not have the knowledge we now have. At para sa kanya, he is doing it as a legitimate act. In fact, there was one time, D.L. Moody was invited because he was a very popular preacher. Then he was invited to preach in Spurgeon's pulpit, and Spurgeon was there, and he attacked smoking. I thought that was very indiscreet of him, but he did. And Spurgeon, as a response, went to the pulpit and said, "I hope to smoke to the glory of God tonight." But that was his level of knowledge. Na wala pa siya nung alam nating unhealthy. So let's not be, wag nating i-ano siya o tingnan ng mababa dahil ginawa niya yon. Na alam niya ay nakakatulong sa kanya. That's the way I will deal with issues of that sort today. Now, dun sa mga tattoos, maglabas na sa inyo yung may tattoo. Unang-una, again, there are places where tattoos are almost a necessity in terms of status quo in their tribes or in their society. So in other words, tattooing in and of itself is not wrong. However, if you put yourself in a place where your testimony matters, your effectiveness matters, how you will be received by unbelievers matters, these are things that one should consider seriously before deciding to even have a tattoo. Again, my position is I will advise against it, but if one has a tattoo, I will not condemn him as unspiritual because of that. But these are things that we should consider very seriously. Any last thoughts, Jean?
Pastor, you were having the lecture, niisip ko yung cultural manifestation ng asceticism sa ating kultura. Ang nakikita ko po, I may be wrong, but it's more on the area ng wealth and possession. Kasi sa atin, parang we give yung poverty mentality, we give value to it. Parang mas mabuting, mas mahira, yung gano'n. Hindi tayo nag-iisip pag merong tayong mga resources, merong guilt feelings to enjoy, parang gano'n. Tapos yung mayaman is scorned. Parang baka, I don't know, it's just an observation na baka in our time, yun yung hindi na natin nabibigay yung glory sa God for the wealth that is given to us.
Exactly. So you can have these two extremes. On the one hand, of course, there's the health and wealth gospel that makes wealth a sign of one's relationship with God, which we reject. On the other hand, yung sinabi ni Jean, this was true more prevalently before, and still have some pockets of that attitude today, na poverty proves more one's spirituality than wealth. And of course, again, we reject that because whether we become rich or not is a matter of providence. If you become rich, binasa natin kanina 1 Timothy 6, I think that's very balanced. 1 Timothy 6 tells us love of money is the root of all evil. So you don't make it a matter of preoccupying desire, na parang yun ang ambisyon mo. But if you are rich, may advice din si Paul, tell the rich in this world, verse 17. So we must be balanced as far as material possession is concerned. It does not determine whether you are spiritual or not. There are poor people who are spiritual as there are poor people who are materialistic. And vice versa, there are rich people who are spiritual, there are rich people who are materialistic. It does not depend on one's material possession, but the attitude of the heart. So, meron pa? Glenn, may rule ka na?
Hindi, last na pastor. Medyo related kay Jean. Ganyan din ang attitude natin sa mga politicians. So, we tend as politics, dirty na agad yun. Parang ganun ang may sungay o crocodile association natin. So I think we should, as a Christian, we should be fair na those politicians are very important part ng society. Kung wala sila, mas lalata yung kalat. I'm just, tama ba ako, Pastor?
Yeah, right. Politics is common grace. Sinabi ko yan dun sa ating Tuesday R&R. It's common grace and we should reject defeatism defeatism says, among other things, kapag nasa government ka, talaga magiging corrupt ka. And so some Christians in government go along with corruption because ganyan talaga. We reject that. Government politics is common grace, and therefore we should believe that there is something good in it. Yes, there are many corrupt people, but the Christian in government should be salt and light. Ibig sabihin ng salt, tagapigil ka ng decay sa iyong opisina. Kung ang iba ay nandaraya, tumigil sa iyo. Wag kumalat ang pandaraya sa iyo. That's salt. Light means you effect positive change. So, yun ang dalawang aspects ng presence ng Christian sa makasalanan ng mundo. Hindi siya gagaya sa nagkakasala, at hindi lang yun, kundi mag-iimpluensya siya para magpabago ng isang makasalanang mundo o lipunan. So, meron pa? So, from the reformers, I hope we learn something of holiness, and I hope that is a good introduction to a long series that I anticipate will be on the subject of holiness. The reformers were effective and powerful preachers, but only because they were holy men. Holy, not in the canonized sense, or holy, not in the ascetic sense. Malala ko yung isang kwento, siguro na ikwento ko na rin, na merong isang ascetic na talagang banal na banal ang turing sa kanya, at pinupuntahan siya ng mga tao para maka-influensya ng kabanalan. One day, someone whispered to him and told him, "You know, they are saying in the city, your brother is more holy than you." And then this holy man, so lost in contemplation upon hearing that, began to scowl and be filled with frown. Imagine someone is more holy than him after he has given up so much. Well, that only shows you the deception of asceticism. It is only the appearance. It is not holy in the heart. The reformers were holy, and yet they were men of the world in the sense that they were there in the world and enjoying the world as God has provided to them. Yan ang gawin po natin sa ating kabanalan. Manalangin po tayo. Dakila naming Diyos, aming mapagbiyayang Ama, salamat sa natutunan namin sa dalawang linggong ito ng pag-aaral sa kaisipan ng reformasyon tungkol sa kabanalan. Kung paano nilang pinanindigan ang pagkamatuwid sa Diyos at nagbubunga ito ng pagpapakabanal. Tulungan mo rin na magputunan namin ang kanilang paglaban sa asceticism as the approach to living a holy life in this sinful world. And we pray that we may understand the error of it, because Christianity is not based on inner experience. It is based on history. Christianity is based on words revealed, not on wordless, illogical experience. So we pray that we may have a biblical concept of the body. It is part of your creation, and it is part of what you will save in Christians at the resurrection. So help us to treat this with biblical stewardship. And part of your blessing is you richly give us everything to enjoy, and enjoy within the bounds of your will. And we pray, Lord, that we may also have the proper virtue of moderation, of contentment in all that we exercise in this world. And may we be like the reformers. Make us holy men and women, and yet enjoying your creation. So be with us in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.